Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second edition of This Week in Wrestling's Highs and Lows on the unofficial WWE Podcast. My name is Mimi Burris, and, well, I'm just grateful to be here. As per last week, we are going to talk about what was done well, what was done not so well, and maybe how it could have been done better if there's any chance of saving it. This week was a very wrestling-packed week. A lot went on. There was a lot to talk about, but I tried to condense it into just a couple points, just a couple main points. So last week, I think we started off on the high, and then we ended on the low, and I feel like we ended the show a little bit on a negative note. I don't want to do that this week, so I say let's flip the switch, let's start off talking about the lows, and let's then get to end the show on a positive note and talk about the high for the week. So again, as per usual, or I guess just as per last week, I have a couple honorable mentions when it comes to the lows. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of good in wrestling going on right now. There's a lot of wrestling, period, but, you know, there's also a lot of not so good. And my first honorable mention for this week is the tag team match on Raw with Asuka and Lana versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. So there is a lot to dissect in this match, and pretty much none of it is good. You know, there was that botch with Lana and Nia Jax, and where I think she went over the ropes, and honestly, wasn't Nia Jax's fault. If you're taking my not expert opinion, I think that was probably Lana's fault, and or clearly Lana's fault, and really not even Nia Jax's fault for continuing to go through with what they had planned, because honestly, I think in WWE, they're not taught to improvise, you know. Everything is so damn choreographed to the, like, nth degree that, you know, Nia Jax doesn't know how to improvise when something like that happens, so she just goes with it, and you get what came out that week. Anyways, there was that. There was, right in the beginning of the match, Lana got a two count on Shayna Baszler. What? Lana. We're talking about Lana, yes, the blonde, yes, Lana. And then we're talking about Shayna Baszler, probably the most legitimate badass that WWE has on their roster. At least she was before she was so mercilessly watered down by the main roster, or probably specifically Vince McMahon. Not Shane. Shane's busy underground trying to bring that back, probably. Anyways, I don't get it. I think Shayna Baszler should be booked so much better than she is, and that's a whole nother topic. But I guess that leads into my next point about the fact that Shayna Baszler and Asuka need to be plucked out of this nonsense that is Nia Jax and Lana, and put their own program together, or at least just keep them out of whatever this weird kind of comedic build a baby face segment that WWE is attempting. I don't know. I just think Shayna Baszler and Asuka are two credible female wrestlers who deserve way better than what creative is giving them right now. And it's sad to watch, honestly. I think they just need to be removed from this equation. And I like the tag team of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I don't mind the pairing. Problem is you've got no one to put them up against, because you don't care about building any female or male tag team division. You know, the belts are an afterthought. It's not even like, it's a whole mess. Anyways, not even the low. So I will move on to my next low. Again, sadly, is coming from the women's division, and it's Dana Brooke versus Reckoning, aka Mia Yim. Big surprise there. If you guys didn't know, you know, the mask came off this week, so it's confirmed. Mia Yim, I didn't get this. You know, this was on SmackDown, and I didn't get it. It's like they're actually trying to just add losses to Retribution's record. It's like this didn't mean anything. Again, another instance. I actually think Mia Yim handled this well when she lost her mask. You know, I think she didn't know what to do at first, but then she just continued the match. You know, I think for someone again who's probably under a creative that is so, you know, like I said, choreographed every nth degree, she handled the situation well, probably a lot better than Kane did in at Crown Jewel, but we won't give you guys flashbacks from that. Dana Brooke won, it's just, I guess, I'm so used to her losing, it's just, it comes off the tongue, it rolls off the tongue, but Dana Brooke beat Reckoning, yet you had Slapjack, yep, Slapjack, I'm not even going to go into that, but you had Slapjack win a match against Ricochet. What was the point of that? You've just 50-50 booked Retribution again, you know, and if they're not progressing forward, they're just going backwards, you know, into irrelevance, and they're just going to continue to be another annoying segment on Raw. I don't understand I don't know why they're still on my TV. I think WWE should probably just cut its losses. This is one of those things that I've got nothing for. I don't know how you can save this. I think the only way is to just let these guys go back to NXT, take their masks off, give them their names back, and you know, don't blame the workers, blame the process, because this, you can tell, especially if you saw on social media, the whole group of Retribution, they tried to work with what they got. They really tried. And again, you know, don't blame the workers, blame the process, because there was no way of this ever working. It was not thought out. It's continuously not been thought out. And this week was another point of it. But again, like I said, I talked about the mask coming off before, and like I said, I thought Mia Yim did a really good job of just kind of continuing on and continuing on the match and not making a giant deal out of it. I felt like she, like I said, she handled the situation really well. But the announcers, the announcers didn't mention anything about the fact that Mia Yim is in the ring. That's Reckoning, right? Quote unquote, Mia Yim, this person who was in NXT, right? Who is in NXT, your own brand of WWE. The third brand, right? Clearly Mia Yim. And they said nothing about that. They didn't mention her name. They didn't mention, that, you know, we had suspicions or whatever, but, you know, confirmed right now, that's Mia Yim. Like, they said nothing. And you know why they said nothing? Because they are so micromanaged by who's ever telling them what to say in the back, that they were probably told not to say a damn thing. And it's sad because the commentary is so awful today. It's so scripted and you're not talking about what's going on in the ring. It doesn't feel real. Remember Jim Ross? He felt real. I never liked The King when I watch back matches with The King and Jim Ross commentating. I think The King was a pig, but at least it was real. Even Paul Heyman, Vince McMahon was amazing on commentary back in the day. If you go watch that some stuff, I think mostly, I don't ever think he was on a match or on commentary on a match by the time I was alive. But real, authentic emotion as to what was going on in the ring. These guys are just repeating whatever's being told to them, right? Or reading some script or whatever. It takes away from the product rather than giving more to the product, which is what commentary is supposed to do. WWE fans are not stupid, and we want to care. But with BS like this, we can't invest in a product that makes no logical sense. I digress. I promise. That's the last honorable mention. There's probably so many other things to talk about this week, but I will save you the rants. But last but not least, actually last and least, your week's official low is Natalia versus Bayley on SmackDown. Let me preface this with, I am a huge fan of Bianca Belair, who was on commentary for this match. Kind of. I think she's amazing in the ring. I think she's got a good gimmick. I like that EST thing. You know, I think she's got a great look about her. There are things I don't like, you know, but to focus on the positives of Bianca Belair, I think she is a future women's champion. And when I mean future, I mean within the next year. I think a couple minor storylines here and there before she gets there, but you know, that hopefully that actually happens, but WWE doesn't seem to know how to do that. But I like I said, I like Bianca Belair. And so I want to invest in her. I'm making an effort to invest in the character that is Bianca Belair. But I can't do that when half of this match was during a commercial break. You probably heard a total of maybe a minute, not even, like 30 seconds accumulative of Bianca on commentary actually talking. I didn't think she was even really good on commentary. I thought she sounded, I don't know, not even scripted. She just sounded like she was out of her league. And that's just Bianca Belair's segment in this match, right? Not to mention the whole thing she had going on with Bayley, essentially where she was the distraction for Bayley, but not really because she's a face, so it was more like Bayley got up in her face. Whatever. It was muddy and weird. And then Natalia, the woman who it took 3 matches for her to qualify for the Survivor Series women's elimination tag team match. That's a mouthful. Anyways, the woman who took 3 matches for her, right? The woman who lost to Bianca Belair last week. Submitted, not even pinned, right? Pinned is one thing. Okay, a roll-up, like, not surprising. They use that every other match. But submitted Bayley with a sharpshooter in this match. And Bayley tapped out pretty quickly. The longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion tapped out to Natalia. I dare someone, please, you know, send an email to Matt at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or I don't know, just I'll look it up or see if anybody knows what the point of giving a win to Natalia was and taking having Bayley take a loss here. I mean, granted, I think Bayley probably could handle the loss, but I mean, how stupid do you have to be to book this match like this? Again, trust the workers, not the process, because I think I'm excited for a program between Bianca Belair and Bayley. That's the pro to this, I guess. I think that the two of them can put on a great match, can probably go at it on the mic, especially Bayley. Oh, Bayley has been unbelievable on the mic this year, but I think this is a great first opponent for Bianca to work with. You know, Bayley, who's almost like a grizzled vet at this point. But I don't get it. I don't get the booking. I don't get the creative. I want to see what Natalia does next week, because I can bet my life on it that they are not doing anything with her. And this, if anything, this win will be plugged into a terribly scripted promo backstage, probably to someone like Adam Pearce, and then she's going to call herself the Boat, and then she's going to disappear back into, actually not even back into, she's just going to continue to be irrelevant, and this is just going to be a blip on the radar that means nothing. But again, logical sense, WWE, when is the last time Natalia held the championship? When's the last time Natalia won a match? I guess, like, I just answered my question just for Survivor Series, but like, really? Definitively won a match by tap out like that. And then you're going to do it to your longest reigning women's SmackDown champion, Bayley. I don't get it. But I think I ranted enough on the low for the week. That is the official pick. I got high hopes for Bianca Belair. I'm really hoping they don't screw her up. And again, I'm trying to continue to trust the workers, not the process. With that being said, let us move on over to the positive part of the show, where we are going to talk about the high of the week. A lot to talk about honorable mention wise this week. Like I said, a lot went on. AEW, NXT, SmackDown, Raw. There was a lot to discuss, I guess. And And so a couple, just like I said, I'll be a little quicker this time with the honorable mentions, but just a couple quick honorable mentions that I can't leave out, considering either the great work in the ring or the implications of it. First, AEW, winter is coming all around. I mean, AEW, you know what you're going to get. A great show, great wrestling. But specifically, Kenny Omega wins the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. And in a way that told the story of putting heel heat on Kenny Omega, right? Completely not adhering to his own stipulation in the match. I think that AEW's creative team, their story writing, whatever they got going on over there, is making a lot more sense than what I'm seeing on a lot of WWE programming. But again, I'll move on. It seems like TNA and AEW are doing some kind of partnership, and that's exciting. I think the more wrestling content out there for us to watch, the better. You had Sting on AEW. I'm not a big Sting person, but for anybody who is, I'm sure that's super exciting. NXT, Shotzi Blackheart versus Raquel Gonzalez in the ladder match. A little botchy here and there, but I mean, those women put on a show. They put their body on the line. They told a story in the ring. You had Io Shirai joining Team Blackout for War Games. Had Io Shirai joining Team Blackheart for War Games. God, I can't speak today. Anyways, and aside from just the ladder match, right, you had all the women come out too. NXT, without a doubt, has the strongest women's division in pro wrestling right now, in my subjective opinion. But I think the women on that roster, the stories they're getting to tell, I mean, it's no comparison to what you're seeing on any other show. And to me, it was a good way to head into War Games, which is this Sunday, which I am guessing we will probably be talking about next week, because, I mean, if it's anything like the last couple years, War Games is always fun to watch. And again, I think the builds, I think I said this last week too, but I think the builds going to the pay-per-view were done really well and about as organically as possible when you're going to like a gimmicky pay-per-view like that. I was impressed. I'm happy with what I'm seeing on NXT per usual. Keith Lee versus Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles on Raw. I thought it was a great match overall. Great showing for Keith Lee. Matt Riddle is kind of growing on me, you know, despite obviously all this stuff that's going on in his life outside the ring as a character. I think he's, like he says, I think he's dopey. I think he's annoying and kind of stupid and probably a whole bunch of other adjectives, but it's not the worst thing on Raw. Let me put it like that. And I am absolutely loving Big Jordan and AJ Styles and their dynamic. I think when he was carrying AJ Styles out at the end of Raw, away from Drew McIntyre, so funny the way AJ Styles was yelling at Drew McIntyre. Meanwhile, he's like on the shoulders of Big Jordan. I think, to me, that's probably my favorite thing I'm watching on Raw right now is AJ Styles and Big Jordan. I think the dynamic, I think that's a match made in heaven, and I am looking forward to watching more of it. And last but not least, in the honorable mention category, we got Baron Corbin having the two guys from the Forgotten Sons as his new cronies. You know, the two guys leaving out, I'm going to say his name on this podcast, leaving out the other idiot. Took the two guys, the non-problematic members of the Forgotten Sons, and they will be, it looks like they're going to be Baron Corbin's cronies for a little while. And I think, I don't know, for anything, I'm not even going to get into the match or anything about that, but I think Baron Corbin having some guys to do his bidding, always going to help. Maybe he'll actually win a couple matches, a string of matches together, and get some kind of heat on him. I think a heel having some guys to do their bidding is a formula that almost always works. All right. This week, though, our official high for the week. I think, yeah, last week too, you know, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, but this week with Kevin Owens and featuring Otis, I guess, are going to get my pick for the week. you know, not only, I think Paul Heyman mentioned it on the show, but, or during the, original promo, but I mean, SmackDown's ratings are up, this week from last week, and I think they're the highest that they've been, at least in the past couple of months. If you think about the opening segments you see on Raw versus this opening segment, there is a clear discrepancy. If you think about this storyline versus any other storyline in the company, specifically on SmackDown or Raw, there is a clear discrepancy. And that clear discrepancy is Paul Heyman. I think Paul Heyman has his hands all over this story. There is no way this is Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon or any of the other sitcom writers they have back there. There is no way that this is their brainchild. This is written by a person who knows wrestling, who knows about the history of wrestling, who knows how wrestling works, who knows how stories in wrestling work, who knows how heat works, who knows how to build a babyface, or at least how to have a heel against a babyface and keep the lines not blurred. I think this is, like I said, I think this is all Paul Heyman, and this is probably my favorite thing going on in all of wrestling right now, is the Roman Reigns, I guess, period. Who would have thought, man? If you had told me that I was going to say out loud what Roman Reigns is doing in WWE is my favorite thing in wrestling right now, I wouldn't have believed you, I guess. And so, you know, when I say the high for this week is Roman, Jay, Kevin, and Otis, I'm talking about the original promo when they came out, and I'm talking about the match at the end of the night. Specifically, I guess when we talk about the promo in the beginning or the way SmackDown started off, you know, you had Caleb Braxton come out and list all of Roman Reigns' achievements, and then they Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns come out and Jey Uso, and they're like, oh, you forgot, whatever. And anyways, she couldn't have done it right. And then she's trying to interview him, and Roman's just kind of tearing her apart. And I was thinking about, I don't typically like when wrestlers go for the interviewer or the announcer or whatever. I think it's cheap heat. I think it's lazy. And if you really think about it, how invested are we in Caleb Braxton? I don't, you know, is she a baby face? I don't know. I don't care much about her. I think she's great. She does a great job. I think she's nice to have on the TV or to have on SmackDown, but great on Talking Smack. But when you have Roman or anyone kind of going after Caleb Braxton, it doesn't make me feel anything, because I don't really feel anything for Caleb Braxton. But like I said, with all that being said, I didn't mind this one. Specifically because when he tore a new one, later in the promo, he says to Kevin Owens that he won't fight him right now because there's a woman in the ring and he's a gentleman. He's not a savage. And I think the real heat from this that I got was the hypocrisy, on Roman Reigns' part when he's talking about, you know, I'm a gentleman. Meanwhile, 2 minutes later, he's just like ripping her a new one. Again, when I watch Roman, and I can't say this enough, when I see him on my screen, I want to hit him. I want somebody to hit him. But I also don't want him to leave my screen. I want to keep watching. I turn the volume up. I need to hear what he has to say. I have not felt like that in a long time for a heel, in WWE specifically. Moving on, you know, there were a couple, in my opinion, a couple low parts of the promo that, you know, didn't really flow well or sound scripted here and there. But overall, right, the whole beginning segment I thought was great. I love that line that Kevin said, you know, like when he challenged Roman. He's like, I'm not talking to the busboy, Jay. I'm talking to the head of the table, Roman Reigns. I thought it was well done. I really did. And I thought it added some heat to a rather rushed program. Though, I mean, the bitch count was through the roof. I mean, how many bitches did we get on SmackDown? I understand it's probably one of the few words that WWE can use to add a little oomph, but when you say it every other segment, it kind of loses its oomph. All right, moving on to the end of the night. The match between Roman Reigns and Jey Uso versus Otis and Kevin Owens. I think Otis played his part perfectly in this match. Lovable, cute guy who was going to get beat up to put more heat on Roman and Jay. I think Kevin, I mean, you put Kevin Owens in any, I guess I call him Kevin now, you put Kevin in any program and he's going to elevate it. I think Kevin Owens is one of the most underused wrestlers on that roster, I think. The thing about this match specifically that kind of tipped the scale for me on having this as my high for the week was that uncomfortable feeling I got watching Roman Reigns beat down Otis with the steel steps specifically, but then also when both him and Jay were beating down Kevin with the chair, and then he was beating down Jay Uso with the chair. And I use the word uncomfortably very specifically because there's not really another word to describe it. It was uncomfortable, but again, it wasn't like I need to turn my TV off uncomfortable. It was, this guy's making me feel something that isn't putting a smile on my face, right? But like a genuine feeling in my stomach where I'm like, ugh, I hate that guy. I continue to be impressed with Roman Reigns every week, and that's why these four guys are taking my high for the week. I couldn't even really understand what he was saying kind of at the end of the match when he had him, both Kevin and Jay down on the mat, and he was muttering things, and I don't know. Honestly, I honestly didn't even care. He could have been saying, you know, what he had for breakfast to them, and it wouldn't have mattered to me because, you know, the facials, the emotion, it is all so good, and this is clearly the best storyline WWE has got going on right now. And I am excited to see what they do next week. And I'm also really excited for the match at TLC between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. You know, although the outcome is predictable, how the outcome comes to be is not predictable. And I guarantee that the match is going to be incredible. So something to look forward to. That is a nice new breath of fresh air for WWE, if you ask me. And that is all from me this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening again. We're still kind of figuring out the ups and downs of this, no pun intended, or I guess the highs and lows of this. But I'm really enjoying this. I'm really enjoying being able to have a platform to just talk about wrestling, and would continue to love to hear what you guys think or if you have any other suggestions. I hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I'm looking forward to War Games tomorrow night.